Good morning to all of you. Today I shall begin a study in two parts. The church in Ephesus. And you see on the screen Butterworth Gospel Hall on top of the church in Ephesus. What I'm trying to do is this. I'm trying to compare what the church in Ephesus experienced and what the church in Butterworth has experienced, is experiencing now, and perhaps may experience in the future. And therefore we need to pay attention to what happened to the church in Ephesus. First, as for today, part one, we deal with her ground and glory. In Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 1, Paul wrote, "Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus." And from thenceforth he wrote about the glorious days in his letter to Ephesians. The glorious days of Ephesus, beautiful. What was given to the church at Ephesus was indeed glorious. Then part two, next week, we shall deal with a reminder that Paul gave to the elders at Ephesus concerning what would happen to the church at Ephesus. And finally, we have a message from the Lord himself when he would speak to the angel of Ephesus. So let us start off with the church in Ephesus. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 1, we read, "Paul to the saints which are in Ephesus." Now this was a letter to reaffirm the church's ground and glory. In other words, the church at Ephesus was very well grounded and founded upon the truths and doctrines of the Lord. And it was indeed a glorious church in a way, because of the glorious contents in that letter of Paul to Ephesians. Because this is a Bible study as well, let's look at some of the important verses in connection with the church in Ephesus. Firstly, the ground of the church in Ephesus, or the foundation. In Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 17, we read these very glorious words, "that Christ may dwell in your heart by faith, that you be rooted and grounded in love." Please note, "that you be rooted and grounded in love." And for this purpose, we find that the contents of Ephesians was to ground the church and to develop them in love. Two important things: that they may be grounded and that they may show love. Please note, two very important things: they may be grounded in the doctrines and in the truths of the church. Secondly, they may show love to one another, and of course to the Lord God himself. Verse 18, we see an amplification of that: "that you may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen." May we pray. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for what we will be reading with regard to the letter to the church at Ephesus. Lord, what a glorious revelation of thine relationship with that church. We do pray that we, as we go through this relationship between thine self, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the church, we may be reminded of that glory that thou hast given to us too, that in our existence in this world, we may bring much glory unto thyself. We ask these things as we study thy word, that thy Holy Spirit speak to us, in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. And note please verse 21, the glory. The ground in verse 17, the glory in verse 21. You may be grounded and rooted in love. Why? In order that you may bring glory to God. Then in Acts chapter 20, verse 17 and verse 28, we find that Paul, in his third missionary journey, sent for the elders in Ephesus to remind them of the importance of feeding the flock. And Paul warned the elders in Ephesus that they needed to feed the flock, because if not, the church would deteriorate and would decline and would be no more. And true enough, we find that in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 1, the Lord Jesus Christ himself stepped into the picture and he said to the angel of the church of Ephesus, "You have lost your first love. You have lost your first love. Repent." And so we find the church later on somehow did not pay heed even to the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that church declined. Now, what message will the Lord send to us in Butterworth Gospel Hall as we study the church in Ephesus? What is the message that he wants us to learn? Well, we need to take heed to what the Lord has to say. And I believe that perhaps there's an angel watching over and taking care of the church in Butterworth. And the Lord will say to the angel certain remarks that we need to pay heed to with regard to the church at Ephesus. But first, let us consider the glorious days of the church of Ephesus, or the church at Ephesus. Note please, in the King James Version, the church of Ephesus in Revelation 2:1 is not right. It should be the church at Ephesus, because the church is not a building. The church consists of people. People gathered together in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Today, we say we go to church. We mean to that building where the church gathers. But the word church cannot be used in that way as we find in the scriptures. The word church is often used only of people, of saints who have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. Not the city of Ephesus. It was then a cosmopolitan city, well situated in Asia Minor. This will be Asia Minor, and there will be Ephesus, and Macedonia, and Greece. And so it was a well situated port, and as we shall see, it's one of the largest and most impressive cities in the ancient world, a political, religious and commercial center in Asia Minor. So much so that not only was it a cosmopolitan city, but it was a commercial city. A port at the convergence of three great highways. From the north, they will come to Ephesus. From the east, they will come to Ephesus. And from the south, they will come to Ephesus. So that Ephesus became a very important port to connect to the west. It was indeed situated in a very, very important place. And this Ephesus played a very important part in Paul's final missionary journey, the third missionary journey in Asia Minor. Now, how does it compare with Butterworth today? Look at Butterworth now. Butterworth is also a very cosmopolitan city in a way, and definitely a very important port. Butterworth here, today it is as easily accessible to the north-south highway. From the north, the people will come to Butterworth, which is a port, and a very important port. From the south, people will also come to Butterworth. From the east, and Butterworth has an advantage over Ephesus. From Penang to the west, it will send its ships, business to Butterworth. Butterworth is a very important port today. And you know in the newspapers that today the state government and even the federal government are trying to develop Butterworth into a very, very important port in the future. So, this is not something not unexpected. From the very beginning, when it was decided to start a testimony in Butterworth, this was the vision. This was the vision of Mr. Tan Wah Kim when he had this idea of starting work. More about this as we go on to the glorious days of Butterworth later on. Yes, for you, those of you who are interested, what is Ephesus today? Where is Ephesus? Ephesus now is in Turkey, the old Asia Minor before. That's where Ephesus is, but what it is today is a different thing from what it was. So, it's also a crossroads of civilization. The Roman governor resided there, and it was a center of the Greek goddess Artemis, or the Romanized Diana. Her temple was one of the seven wonders of the world. Now, in Acts 19, we read of Paul's encounter with the worship of Diana, the Roman name for her, or the Greek name Artemis. And there was this wonderful temple built, and it was indeed one of the wonders of the world. But today, it is completely in ruins. It is no more. You could see only one pillar, perhaps, standing now in the midst of a wilderness, desert, nothing more. The glorious days of the temple were gone. Look at her connection with early Christianity. It was associated with the ministries of Paul. As I said, Ephesus was visited by Paul in his third missionary journey. Timothy, apostle of John. Ephesus and its inhabitants are mentioned more than 20 times in the New Testament. Now, perhaps I'd like to compare this now to Butterworth. Because many of you here would not know much of the beginnings of Butterworth. Butterworth also had its association with very, very great missionaries. The first missionary to be involved in the work in Butterworth would be Mr. Blake and his wife, Mrs. Blake. Mr. and Mrs. Blake had work started with a few families in Butterworth, but when Mr. Blake fell sick, he went back to New Zealand. And then later on, he went home to heaven in New Zealand. Mrs. Blake had a heart for Butterworth. She returned to Butterworth. And because of her heart for Butterworth, she came back and she gathered some of the old family members. Her contact point was a local brother from Penang, Chang Hong Leong. Some of you, older ones, would know him. And together with him, they came and started work in Butterworth. They gathered together the older Christians and they started the work in beginning with a Sunday school in Kampung Bungsang and then the Chinese work in Kampung Java. Today, Kampung Bungsang and Kampung Java are hardly existing. I have asked one or two people where Kampung Java is and Kampung Bungsang, they can't even tell me where they are. Because Butterworth has developed so very well. Well, at that time, these Christians started their work, they were only living at the parts. Kampung Musang, the home of Mr. and Mrs. Ang Tang Chun, was just at the part. Small at the part, Sunday school, and the Sunday school had to be conducted outside the house, on the road, because there was no place. Then the elder, Mr. Ng Sui Sin, who was educated in Chinese too, he opened his house in Kampung Java, and Chinese work started over there. And that's where the English Young People's Group Bible class had their class in that house. So that's the beginning, small beginning. Later on, Bumrah Hall was interested in the work because I came over. I came over to help after Mr. Tang Hong Leong had gone. And we recruited workers, young people from Bumrah Hall to Penang to help out in the work in Patuan. And the work grew from the Sunday school work in the school, in Chinese school. And after that, we moved over to Mr. Mo's house for Club Road. And then we found that we needed a place of testimony. And that's where Bumrah Hall stepped in under the leadership of Tan Wah Kim. He had a tremendous vision of Batuas being a cosmopolitan spot, a very important city. So he said, there must work be started in Batuas. Batuas must start a work of testimony because Batuas town is going to grow very fast one day, as he saw the map. And there must be Batuas Gospel Hall to have a testimony for the Lord at that time. And so that's how the work started. Right, let's see some glorious days of Batuas Gospel Hall. It's beginning. Now, it was flatland like this only. The Christians were keen to start the work, and they went even around to chunkle the place, and there would be Mr. Ng Sui Sin. He had stroke, but he walked with a limb, but he was still intent in serving the Lord. And with his head, he still did what he could with all the others. And so they prepared the ground, and the building came up. Now, while the building was coming up, Mr. Tan Wah Kim from Butterworth, with his Veloset motorcycle then, would come over every week to supervise the construction of the building, so that he would see that the building was properly built. And if you look around today at the building of Butterworth Gospel Hall, you find that so well constructed there are hardly any lines, any leaks, because he would come every week to supervise the construction of Batuas Gospel Hall, even from Penang. And so now we ask ourselves, what is happening to Batuas Gospel Hall? As it is now, the leaders later on developed this place, and so we have the mission house, and we have such a wide compound. The mission house must be due to the vision of Mr. S.S. Adams. He sold the house, mission house, at Fakwa Street, and part of the money he used it to build the mission house at Bumrah Gospel Hall, today already demolished. The other part of the money he used it to build up the mission house. In order that, well, primarily he might stay in Butterworth because he wanted to work in Butterworth, and later on perhaps other missionaries would come to stay in the mission house in Butterworth. Well, we know what happens now to the mission house, and it is now well built up and developed, very good. But is it being used now for missionaries, for missions? We have to ask ourselves too in that respect. And so, the Butterworth Gospel Hall, is it fulfilling the vision of the early pioneers? Now, let's go back to the church in Ephesus. Please note, as I read to you just now, it was rooted probably by Aquila Priscilla, who went there at the beginning You can read about it. And then in Acts chapter 18, and then Paul visited it, and he spent 2 years teaching the church in Ephesus. And then we read that after 2 years, the word spread out from Ephesus to all the regions beyond. Oh, it was a fantastic church. The church at Ephesus was a missionary church. It reached out to the community around. And you read about it in Acts 18:19 and 19:8-10. It received probably the best letter in the New Testament, Ephesians. Fantastic letter of the glory that was assigned to the church at Ephesus. But unfortunately, it declined in the years to come. And a reminder was sent by Paul to the elders to feed the flock. If you don't feed the flock, the church will decline. That's very important. Grounded in the truth is good. Grounded in the faith, in the love, must lead on to care and love for the flock and to feed the flock, so that the members of the church are felt being fed, and not just left for them to graze around in other places for grass, because they could not find one in their own church. So it's important that the leaders must know how to feed the flock. Acts 20:17-38. More about that next Sunday. Then we discover that much as they were grounded in the truth, yet apostasy came about when some of them in the church rebelled and came up with false doctrines. So one needs to be careful. And then finally, the Lord Jesus Christ, in the letter to Ephesus in Revelation chapter 2, reprimanded them for the loss of their first love. Finally, we find that the church in Ephesus, including the building, was completely removed in history. The city was removed. It declined after the 5th century. The Turks removed inhabitants in the 14th century. And now uninhabited and 7 miles from the sea. Remember, at the beginning, it was a port, a very important port for north trade routes, for the east trade routes, and for the south trade routes. But now it's 7 miles from the sea. So that today, this is what the city of Ephesus looks like now. Ruins. But what about the church building? Would it be better off? No. It's just in ruins. Everything about Ephesus in ruins. And the reprimand of the Lord apparently was not taken heed to, and the church went into ruin. Or the building, as well as the members of the church, they all went their way. Gone. The testimony at Ephesus was gone. And what is left are just pillars and ruins to remind us that there was once a glorious church in Ephesus. Alright. Question now is, if we don't pay heed while we can, when the church is on a decline, then it may result in nothing existing anymore. So we need to pay heed. Let's come back to the glorious days of Butterworth Gospel Hall. The church. Now, these were the early pioneers of Butterworth Gospel Hall. Not actually early, but early in the sense that it was after the building of this Butterworth Gospel Hall. About 20 people at that time. Well, that was in 1959. 9th August 1959. Few months more, you are having your anniversary. Over 50 years. Over 50 years will the 20 or so here become 100, 200, as envisaged by the early pioneers? Or will it still remain that same number? Or will it go down? This is a challenge to the believers at Butterworth Gospel Hall today. Now, many of them are no more. Mrs. Ang Tiang Ho, no more. Our sister Ang Gip Si, a very, very fervent sister, no more. Even our brother, young brother Eddie, no more. Mr. Ang Tiang Ho, also no more. And a number of these people are no more. Except me, I think, about the oldest left. Among the early pioneers. So, we see that if we do not do something about it, then the vision of the early pioneers will not materialize. The number will go down. Now, after 50 years, we cannot allow the number to be just the same. It must increase. It must grow. Compare 50 years with our present government 50 years ago, and now you see a great difference in the infrastructure in the government of Malaysia. But the church also needs to grow. And so we find here another photograph of the early members, and this would be the young people's group. They were there. Some you can recognize some of yourself there. Well, they have grown. One thing I need to say, and that is, many of these people are still active serving the Lord. More about their faithfulness later on. And so, you see, the young people had connections. Here's a group photo of the young people going to the other assembly, sitting in Taipei. There was good communication between Butterworth Gospel Hall, with the Penang assemblies, with Taipei Gospel Hall, even with Elim. Today, we want to ask ourselves whether Butterworth Gospel Hall has this kind of connection and communication with other assemblies, or are they just being by themselves? Look at the Sunday school. We had a good Sunday school. When we were at 4 Club Road, our number went from 80 to 100 or 120. We had a very good Sunday school. And when we came here, we had also a good Sunday school. Today, what is the strength of a Sunday school? 10? 20? Over the 50 years, when we need to grow, are we declining? And if we are declining, then we have to ask ourselves, why? Look at our Sunday school picnic. We enjoyed ourselves very much as we went around to the various seaside. This apparently was in the home of Mr. Ang. We had visits from the Taylor Road Sunday School because there was this communion. And even in the assembly Bible class from Burmaro Gospel Hall, we had these people to come and see the work in Butterworth. Because at that time, the work in Butterworth was reckoned as a mission field for the assembly in Butterworth. And I was in charge of this assembly Bible class in Burmaro Gospel Hall, and brought them over here to see the work as a mission field for them to come to help and so on. So those were the glorious days, so to speak, of Butterworth Gospel Hall. Sunday school, youth work. Let's go back to Ephesians. Now, the book of Ephesians is a book of balance between belief and life, grounded in love, rooted and grounded in love. Now, we may be very grounded in the truth, but if we are not grounded in life and in love, then we are not fulfilling a balanced Christian life as envisaged in the book of Ephesians. Look at chapters 1 to 3, just for you who want to study Ephesians. Balanced by chapters 4 to 6. 1 to 3, you have doctrines of the church. 4 to 6, you have the deportment of the Christians. Doctrine must be followed or balanced by deportment. No point talking about the truth if you are not prepared to live out the truth in your life. There are the principles of the Christian life laid down in chapters 1 to 3, and the practice of Christian living in chapters 4 to 6. I beseech you therefore that you walk worthily of the vocation wherewith you are called. Chapter 4 of Ephesians. the Christian's heavenly calling in chapters 1 to 3, that you have all things in your possessions in the heavenlies, and the Christian earthly conduct, that even as you seek heaven, you need to live that heaven's life on earth. The Christian's riches, that we are rich and we need to possess our possessions, and the Christian's responsibility. And so you find a balanced presentation and challenge in the book of Ephesians. It is also a book of blessing. Look at the blessed author who wrote Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 1. I'll read to you chapter 1 and verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Please note his description. He was the cursed Saul who became the blessed Paul, the cursed persecutor who became the blessed preacher. His deputation, he was the adversary going after the church, but he became the apostle of Jesus Christ. His destination, all this by the will of God, who called him out on his road to Damascus, and then God made him into his servant. Look at the blessed addresses, the people whom he addressed. In other words, the members of the church at Ephesus. Look at their blessed calling in chapter 1 and verse 1. They are called saints, to the saints at Ephesus. Their blessed position, they are called saints. Now, all of you in this assembly in Battle Gospel Hall, every one of you is a saint. Everyone, from the youngest to the oldest, who has believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, is a saint, sanctified by the Lord. But you must function as a saint, called to be saints, as we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 2. Many of us are called saints, but we are not living as saints. We are called to be saints. They are called faithful in Christ Jesus, as we read in chapter 1 verse 1. Their blessed position, faithful, very good. Blessed function, be faithful. Now, I'll just pause a while talking about faithfulness. Let me say this sincerely from my heart, as I have told a number of times before to other people and other assemblies too. I take off my hat to the faithfulness of the Christians, the early Christians in Butterworth Gospel Hall, who were with me and today are still faithfully with the assembly in Butterworth. But I'd like to put a question mark on this faithfulness, our understanding of faithfulness. What is this faithfulness? There are three possibilities. You can be faithful. You can be faithful. And you can be just showing blind faithfulness. What do I mean? Being faithful, loyal to the gathering at Butterworth, to the church at Butterworth, you will never go elsewhere. You will always stick to the Butterworth Gospel Hall. Praise the Lord for that. Very good. But how are you functioning? Are you just a passenger? Just warmer of the seat in the Butterworth Gospel Hall? Or are you functioning? That's one faithfulness, one form of faithfulness. Second form of faithfulness, perhaps you are faithful, you have been in the assembly for years, but you are not able to play a part in the assembly. Why? Because you have not, your gifts and your potentialities are not being made use of by the leaders. And so you come regularly, and very faithfully you attend the meetings, but you are not functioning. You have no responsibilities. You have nothing to show, because your mouth is sort of shut up and you can't say anything. This is faithfulness too. Be careful of that. And third, be faithful. Yes, still stick to the assembly. But then, since there is no scope for you to play your role, you go outside to function, so that you can exercise that gift that God has given to you. Now, this is faithfulness in three forms. What kind of faithfulness do you demonstrate as you stay in Butterworth Gospel Hall? This is a question. Now, the Christians in Ephesus, they were faithful. And I'm very sure it's not just the blind faithfulness. They were faithful and they were playing their part and they were functioning, they were having responsibilities and they were in position of responsibility to help out in the world. That's why in Ephesians chapter 3 and chapter 4, you find that the members of the body are coordinated to work together under the head. They are functioning. And this is what we need in Butterworth Gospel Hall. Not just mere faithfulness in word, in profession, but very, very faithful in service and in responsibilities. And so, opportunities must be made open to others to be able to serve in the church that they may be faithful. Alright, their blessed dwelling. First, we are told that they are at Ephesus. Good. They are in Butterworth. Good. But what are we doing in Butterworth? What is the assembly doing in Butterworth? Are the members actively going out to the community around? You know, when Mr. Tan Wah Kim, we had a discussion, wanted to start this place here. Now remember, this place here was started from the funds of Bermuda Gospel Hall. And so the people from Bermuda Gospel Hall were praying for the work and were sending their people here, among them myself. And I was here for many years to help out in the work. Have we spread the gospel to the community around? We had a vision. At that time, it was just the gospel hall. There was no development around. But we had a vision that there would be development around, that a community would be built up, be developed around in the neighborhood. We had this vision, and that's why we bought extra land, in order that we may have a big piece of land when the time would come when the testimony of this place we were hoping would develop so well that there would be no space left, so that we must provide before it was too late. And so there was all this provision. Today, you look at the community around. You just have to look at the houses around. As I said, Kampung Jawa, Kampung Musang, all gone. But now, new kampung, so to speak, more kampungs. They are palatial houses and so on, have developed. Now, all these places have developed. Has our assembly developed? This is a challenge. This is a challenge. To fulfill the very vision of the early pioneers when Butterworth Gospel Hall started. Well, above all things else, we need to make sure that our dwelling is in Christ Jesus. To be faithful to Him in Christ Jesus, and not only to the church, but to be faithful in Christ Jesus. He is rich, the rich source of life. He is the resident sphere of living. We must live in Him and He must live in us, so that He will become what we ought to be. We will become what He wants us to be. And now look at the blessed address. 1:12, 1:2. Grace and peace be unto you. That was a salutation given to the Christians at Ephesus. Grace makes this calling possible, for we are saved by grace. And peace makes this conduct possible, that we can live in peace one another with one another as we show love to one another. Right. The source of our blessing, of course, must be in the Father and the Son, as we read in chapter 1 and verse 3. The scope of blessing, all spiritual blessings. It says there in chapter 1 verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. So, we must continue to trust the Father and the Son, from whom come the source of our blessing, and He will bless us with all spiritual blessings. What is meant by that? That all spiritual blessings, all blessings that relate to the Spirit, so that we will be blessed and we will go in His power to do that which He bids us to. Blessed. What a word it is. Now, we have the Beatitudes in Matthew 5:3-13. Today, we think of blessed in the wealth that we accomplish, in the luxurious house we manage to stay in the big cars that we are driving in. When I know before, when we were serving in the Sunday school in Butterworth, we from Penang had to cycle from Balmoral Gospel Hall to the railway station, not a railway station, but the railway station in Penang side. We will park our house in our brother's house. We will park our bicycle, We will park our bicycle in our brother's house, and then we will take a ferry. And that ferry is not the kind of ferry that we have today. It's a ferry that cannot be reversed. So it has got to go one way out, and then has got to slowly pull around and face the other way. And then from the pier, we had to walk, literally walk, carrying the accordion, our musical instrument then, all to the place where the Sunday school would be. Today, we don't have to do anymore. We have a car. We have a good house to stay in, and so on. With the personal development, is there a development for the church? This is a challenge to all of us. The blessings that we talk of in Matthew chapter 5, the Beatitudes. Blessed are those that mourn. Blessed are those that are persecuted. Blessed are those that, well, are in poor conditions. They were blessed, and we were blessed then. Now that you are blessed with material blessings, are you a blessing to the Lord in Butterworth? So, the sphere of our blessing, it says, in the heavenlies in Christ. That's where we should have our blessing. That they should be centered upon the Lord Jesus Christ in heaven. Colossians 3:1. If we be risen with Christ, seek those things in heaven. We need to love heaven. Colossians 3:2. Seek not the things on the earth. Live heaven. Set your affections on things not on the earth but in heaven. So live heaven on earth. Christ is the center, and Christ must be the circumference. So let Christ be developed fully in our life as we serve Him on this earth. It is a book of beauty. As I pointed out, Ephesians is well balanced with principles, chapters 1 to 3, and practice, chapters 4 to 6. And so in chapter 1, you found the ground and glory of the church. Chapter 2, the character and construction of the church, that we are built up into a holy habitation of God. Its fullness and functions, that we should develop and use the gifts that God has given to us to minister to the church. Chapter 3. And then chapters 4 to 6, we have the challenge to the Christian concerning his calling, that you walk worthy of the calling wherewith you are called. Concerning his conduct, chapter 4, 17 to chapter 6, verse 9, and consider his conflict, chapter 6, verse 10. Put on the armor of God, that you may be able to withstand the wiles of the devil. And so, we find that Ephesians, the book of Ephesians, is a fantastic book, describing the very glory of the church of Ephesus, and how like Butterworth Gospel Hall in the early days. We very thank God for what it was, the church, and we thank God that today we still have Butterworth Gospel Hall, and we still have the people here. We thank God for this. But we must not be happy with what we have today. We must go on. We must develop. We must proceed and not stay where we are. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. And that will be in Ephesians 5:25. And here, let me introduce to you the first wedding in Butterworth Gospel Hall. And it was between our sister Ming Yuk and with her husband, Mr. Wong. Now, both of them were the first couple to be married in Butterworth Gospel Hall. And my challenge today is, since that year, how many weddings have been conducted in Butterworth Gospel Hall? How many? Has love prevailed among the members so that they love one another and they result in weddings and marriages? I wonder how many weddings. Dr. Ang, the registrar, is not here. I would have asked him, how many weddings have been conducted in this place since then? Alright, that is the first wedding. Today, our sister Ming Yuk is no more, called to heaven. But our brother, I met him in Hong Kong a few years ago. He's in his 80s and still very active serving the Lord, as he would go around to all the mission and to the villages in China to preach the word and to teach the word. Ever faithful and always walking, because he had no vehicle to take him around. And this is our brother. And of course they have lovely children who are serving the Lord still. And here is the wedding that was conducted. Look at the number of people then at that time who were here for the wedding. Our sister Ming Yuk was the daughter of our elder Mr. Ng Sui Sin and his wife, and both of them were great pillars of the church. I could never find another sister as fervent and faithful as Mrs. Ng. She would visit every house. She would comfort the people there. She was a tremendous visitor who would go from house to house, walking. It's so different from today. We wonder how many of the people do visit one another. Well, the glory of the church, as expressed in Paul's prayer, with God's program of salvation, Paul's praise, chapter 1 verse 15 to 16, of the people there, for their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, as I would also praise you people for remaining faithfully in Butterworth Gospel Hall, despite all things that happen, for their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, for their love unto all saints. This is important. Because if this is lacking, then the assembly will decline. Make sure that there is this love unto all saints, to care for them when they are sick, to care for them when they are not present, to know them and to visit them and to see to all their needs. Love for all the saints. And this must not apply only to the leaders, but among all the other members of the assembly too. Paul's prayer. He prays that they may be given wisdom to apply all the doctrines that they know into the practical life by the help of the Holy Spirit, for knowledge, that they will increase in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord expects them to fulfill the goal of His personal calling in chapter 1 and verse 18, where we read, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. The Lord calls us, and this calling is a high calling, Philippians 3:14, heavenly calling, Hebrews 3:1, and a holy calling, 2 Timothy 1:9. And the expensive glory in His possessions, all the possessions in Christ, exceeding greatness of His power, that we may experience it. This was what Paul prayed for the church at Ephesus. Can this be the prayer of Paul and the early pioneers of Butterworth Gospel Hall, that they too would have wisdom in applying the knowledge, and they too would have this knowledge of the Lord, that they will fulfill all the goals that the Lord has given to them, they may realize the glory of their possessions and the exceeding greatness of His power, so that they will reach out. Let me end with the wonderful, mighty power of the Lord in the early days. In the early days, we had many gospel campaigns in Bethel Gospel Hall. We had tremendous workers. Now, just now, I was telling you about Ephesus being associated with the early pioneers, the early missionaries, Paul, Timothy, and so on. Bethel Gospel Hall had a tremendous history of very good missionaries coming here. I started with Mr. and Mrs. Blake. And then after that, we would have people, missionaries, like A.E. Phillips. A.E. Phillips was one of the best teachers I ever come across, Bible teachers. He was here teaching the Butterworth Gospel Hall. There was also S.S. Adams. S.S. Adams would not that be, would not be that good a Bible teacher, but he was a good pastor, shepherd. He would go to houses to visit them and to shepherd the flock. That's Mr. S.S. Adams. Then, especially the wife. The wife played a wonderful role in pastoring the ship. Then there would be Mr. Wilson. Then there would be Mr. Regler, very good for Sunday school work. And then among the local people, there would be Dr. G.D. James, who would come to this place, would conduct gospel campaigns. He was an international evangelist, Dr. G.D. James, an Indian, in case you think that he's an Englishman. Alright, he would come and, of course, have been called home already. Then there would be also Mr. and Mrs. Wilson Wong. Mr. Wilson Wong would come here and he would also conduct gospel campaign. He was from Penang. And there would be Jimmy Chew from Singapore. And so you find Butterworth Gospel Hall was associated with great teachers, great pioneers. They were specially invited by the Gospel Hall at Butterworth to come to hold these meetings. I'm inviting some of these good missionaries to come to hold gospel campaigns, to Bible teaching sessions, in order that the people here may develop. This is a challenge also. When was the last time you had a special gospel campaign in Butterworth Gospel Hall? When was the last time you had a special teaching session in Butterworth Gospel Hall? Think about it. This is something that we need to do and to think of before we decline. And so, there's the gospel campaign. Look at the people that came then. Mr. and Mrs. Mr. Wilson was conducting the campaign there. There were crowds of people filling up all the seats and even to overflowing at the back. Today, we need to see these glorious days of Butterworth Gospel Hall when God worked in the mighty power. God was the ground for the church. And God will be the glory of the church. Next week, the reminder to and reprimand of the church at Ephesus. May the Lord speak to us and help us to be what He wants us to be. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we commit ourselves to Thee. We thank Thee for the glorious teachings that Thou hast given to this assembly. We thank Thee for the glorious works that Thou hast manifested through this assembly. Lord, we do pray that this assembly may continue to maintain that which Thou hast given unto them. That this light, this lampstand that Thou hast placed in Butterworth may be the one that will continue to shine to all the region around. We thank You for everyone who is faithful in this place. We thank You for each one of them, and we do pray that Thou would give them opportunities to develop their gifts so that they can be useful for Thee. Even in their old golden years, they would be able to find their parts and responsibilities in this assembly. Pray for the leaders in this assembly, that Lord, I will continue to guide them, give them a vision of the work, so that this place here may develop. We ask these things, Lord, giving Thee our great thanks for Thy goodness and faithfulness to us in spite of all that we ask Thee. We give Thee thanks in the blessed name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.